Tonight, James sees a psychiatrist. Mike gets assaulted by porn. And we throw people out of Walmart.
JamesFromStrongPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike. I was going to pretend that I wasn't here, you know, because I usually aren't.
Yeah, you are a slacker.
Well, scheduling conflicts, and I don't get up early.
Yeah, and then. So, happy anniversary, Mike.
Yes, today is the 2-year anniversary of this wonderful podcast you're listening to. I mean, it won't be when you listen to it. They'll be a few days old at this point. But today, on the day that we are filming this, February the 6th, this marks 2 years since we did the first podcast.
Which,
was horrible.
Yeah, I got a notification on Facebook. You know, it was like the, on this day in your past. And I clicked through it and I was like, I saw the notification like February 6th, 2014. The first episode came out and I was like, oh my god!
Yeah, we've been
so I had to share it. I'm going to put it on the fan pages and shit.
We have been doing this shit for 2 years and we're still doing it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, the turnover rate for like podcasts is ridiculous.
Oh my god, I've seen so many like drop like a half a dozen episodes and then never do another one.
I mean, hell, for example, you and me have done what, 3 side projects that have all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, even our other one, like, is no longer on the web at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can still find the first, like, 2 episodes of Couch Potato Mike Explains It All, or Retardist, or both of them.
There was one episode of Couch Potato Mike Explains It All, and one episode of fucking Sonic Screwballs.
Yeah.
Both on CouchPotatoMike.com.
Which is still up, and will remain so.
Yeah.
So the IRS was slow, and that's why we still don't have a good microphone.
But on the upside, we both found out that our refunds finally got approved, so yeah. Yay us.
Yeah, we should get a new microphone soon.
Yeah, within the next couple episodes, hopefully we'll be sounding a lot better.
Yeah. And we just stopped for a second to check the audio levels. They don't suck. The levels look like they suck. But, so when I was editing last episode, it was actually, like, we were kind of too loud.
We were too loud?
It was kind of blown out a little bit, like,
oh, like a vault.
You know, I didn't want to, like, go through and reduce it. And so what I did was, like, I eliminated work. This is sort of preamble, but you guys dig it, whatever. I changed the settings in Pamela, that's the software we use to record our Skype calls with, to record not in MP3 format, because when I record a Skype phone call, I drop all of them into a program that levels them out called Levelator. And to do that, I've got to convert the MP3 to WAV format to convert it and then import it and then export it back out as an MP3 as a finished product. You could lose some quality, converting it back and forth like that. So now I just have it record in WAV format so I can then Levelate the WAV format and
Levelate.
Then edit in WAV format, which is a lossless format. The files are bigger, but it doesn't matter. And then, you know, save it out to an MP3 when I upload it to the server, and you guys can listen to it.
Absolutely.
So, let's see.
We've got to get a new board.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah.
Because normally you're like, hey, what do we got coming up on the show? And I'm like, we got this, 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 and this, and that's all I'll actually be able to say because I have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
It's a surprise episode to me.
Yeah, I've got the notes brought up, but we lost the board.
Yeah, because some little asshole wouldn't quit clawing chunks off of it, and I had to fucking hide it, and I hit it so good that I can't find it anymore.
Yeah.
Somebody moved the damn board, and it still had my silver dime on it.
It's going to be in your house somewhere.
At my wibbly-wobbly weekend pin.
Did your wife throw it out?
She wouldn't have done that. I know she wouldn't have done that. But something happened.
Yeah. So, what is coming up on today's show is...
I don't know. We will be doing two news stories.
Those two news stories are...
Dead air. Fucking shit. Load faster!
You can read the URL.
I can't read that. It says constitutional rights, breaking federal court rules. There is a fundamental right to R.
AR-15s?
Oh. I thought the 15 was part of the code.
No. Next is...
Something about truth in the media. Who would be a better president? Vote now.
I should have did a restart. Oh, come on!
Oh, shit happens.
It's, wow.
Slow and laggy. Ross Perot.
Come on!
This is outdated.
That is not Ross Perot.
I can already hear the Top Gear opening I'm going to be doing later.
No, honestly, we're going to have to stop. The computer's unusable right now. And we are back after... You're a fucking cunt.
I was trying to do it before you hit play, and then you hit play.
That's why you got more cum in your beard.
I do not have any cum in my fucking beard.
Probably the punks jizzing on your face. Anyway, I'm about to edit the fuck out of this episode. I'm going to actually edit all of this.
It has been a debacle. But coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about the federal court rule. The federal court's rule that there is a fundamental right to AR-15s. We're going to be debunking the lesser of two evils voting theory, bugging out to Walmart, and how the low-carb ketogenic and paleo diets are better than drugs for diabetes patients.
Fuck yes. Let's finally get into this mother effer.
With our first news story, where are we starting here with the federal courts?
Yarp. Breaking news! Federal court rules, there is a fundamental right to AR-15s. It feels good to be reading stories again. We haven't done a standalone episode in so long.
What was...
Oh, now I remember. We'll talk about that later. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit has ruled the Americans have a fundamental right to so-called assault weapons. A major victory for gun rights. A three-judge panel ruled that Maryland's Firearm Safety Act of 2013... ban against what the court called the vast majority of semi-automatic rifles commonly kept by several million American citizens is a blunt violation of the Second Amendment to the Constitution. Fuck yes!
Dot dot poke poke, you owe me a coke, bitch!
The case was a major victory for the NRA and gun rights advocates. Adam Winkler, UCLA law professor.
Didn't he play Fonzie on Happy Days? That's Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler, yeah. Oh, okay. In our view, Maryland law implicates the core protection of the Second Amendment, the right of law-abiding, responsible citizens to use arms in defense of hearth and home. Chief Judge William Traxler wrote in the divided ruling.
In his ruling, Judge Traxler sent the case to the district court for review, demanding they apply strict scrutiny, a stringent constitutional test that almost no gun control legislation can survive. This case was a major victory for the NRA and gun rights activists, said Adam Winkler, a law professor at UCLA who specializes in Second Amendment law. This opinion is an important one because it subjects important gun control laws to the most strict form of judicial scrutiny. While the Supreme Court has not yet weighed in on these cases, Judge Clarence Thomas has complained that the Second Amendment was being relegated to a second-class right. If a broad ban on firearms can be upheld based on conjecture that the public might feel safer while being no safer at all, then the Second Amendment guarantees nothing, he wrote, and added that those earlier decisions enshrining the right to gun ownership shouldn't be expected to clarify the entire field.
Yes, and since we, I think, forgot to mention it, this comes from controversialtimes.com, and it's this law passed, I think, the 5th of February, so it's brand new, hot off the presses.
Well, this is an excellent decision. It's great news for anybody who owns a fucking AR-15. You own an AR-15.
I do own an AR-15.
You own a very confusing AR-15.
Well, it's a left-handed one.
I know, it fucks everybody up. I loved it when Todd was trying to use it. Everything's on the wrong damn side.
It confuses Experience shooters. It was the first AR-15 you've ever shot, so to you, it's normal.
Yeah, it didn't bother me at all, because I'd never shot an AR-15 before, so I just learned it on that one.
Right.
I mean, but it's like somebody who spent their entire life driving an American, then going to England and driving a stick shift over there.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's anything that's different from what you're used to.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't have to unlearn anything. But no, this is fucking awesome. I mean... And we've covered this a little bit, and I've read up on shit like this before about all the controversy around the fucking Second Amendment, where people are like, no, the Second Amendment only applies to, like, the military and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it applies to militias. The militias back then were made of normal fucking citizens.
Yeah.
Who were doing normal fucking jobs. We're talking about farmers and millers and smiths and all this shit, who, I guess that's where all those last names came from.
Yeah.
But anyway, fuck... who were doing their normal jobs, unless the enemy arose, then they would all grab their damn guns that they had a right to bear to rise up to form the militia. A militia is not an organized military.
No, that's...
By any stretch of the imagination.
Ridiculous.
It's made of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. This is awesome. This is kind of interesting to see where this goes. Like, this is, it's setting precedent, which in law is very important. We need to have Glenn Tate back on to talk about laws and stuff, because he is a lawyer, and that is some of the things going on. Yeah, but it's interesting. Like, there are a lot of, like, in California, basically AR-15s are banned. Owning an AR-15 in California is damn near an act of God, or lack thereof, and it's interesting to see how this holds up. And okay, so to play devil's advocate real quick, I'm always iffy anytime a federal law will trump state laws, i.e. when California legalized marijuana or Colorado, mm-hmm. and the federal government, the DEA, went in and started shutting down people.
Federally it's illegal.
Because federally it was illegal. And there's even some laws being passed on that where the federal government is basically not going to care about that anymore. so within the next... 5 years, I would say, you know, marijuana will be legal everywhere. And there's so many things at once. Cheryl, you're slacking off. I need to message you. So I had an idea for, okay, so in my mind and Michael W. Dean's, the path of freedom is paved with two key cornerstones.
Okay.
Guns and weed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's diametrically opposed in our, and we'll talk about this in the voting thing, it's opposed in sort of the minds of modern voters and people.
One, you know, represents, like, peace, one represents violence.
And it doesn't, but yeah, you're right. So liberals get behind marijuana should be legal for everyone.
Fuck and yes.
Conservatives get behind, you know, Second Amendment rights.
Fuck yes.
Whereas I don't see why you can't have them both. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they are, like, they're both the path to freedom. So, if they legalized marijuana today, I probably would not go down to the store and buy any. I've never been a fan.
It's not your bag.
Yeah. But I fully support, you know, the rights of people to be able to buy that. It's a fucking plant. You know, just as, like, my AR-15, it sits in my gun case 6 feet away from us.
Yep.
It has never magically opened that case and shot anything or anyone.
Nope.
Nope. My AR-15 is not a death murdering machine. It's fun for shooting toilet bowls and shit, though.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Blowing up porcelain and televisions and shit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and what always kills me about the whole fucking ban on fucking firearms, assault weapons, all that does is cripple the good people.
Yeah.
I mean, because you think criminals are going to obey those laws when they're not obeying the other laws that makes them criminals?
And it creates a black market, like we talked about with Australia making those zip guns that are deadly to the people and, you know, is deadly for everyone. The people, like, making and buying them, you create a black market. Prohibition.
I was about to say, let's not fucking forget Prohibition.
Yeah.
Where they outlawed fucking booze. I mean... People started bootlegging. People started drinking the goddamn wood grain alcohol because it was still commercially available. What does the government do to fucking discourage them? Oh, we're going to put arsenic in the fucking... That way people wonder... It killed over 10,000 people!
Yeah, there's a lot
The government poisoned over 10,000 people! Why? Because they didn't want them to get their drink on.
Yeah, people overlook the point... Well, yeah, when the
This country it was built on goddamn beer, for God's sake. Just ask Benjamin Franklin.
And Sam Adams. I mean, he makes a damn tasty brew.
Oh, my God. always a good decision.
Yeah. But anyway. Oh, my God. You remember that Chappelle show, Sam Adams? Like?
Oh, Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson, yeah.
Samuel Jackson. I killed him, and I hope he burns in hell!
Oh, man. This is a... God, I miss doing the standalone episodes. but, yeah. Badass rule. I'm going to watch this and see where it goes. I think it's great. I still want to see someone challenge the way that you read the way the law passed for gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be the same for universal concealed carry permits.
Yeah, I mean, if it's accepted in one place, it should be accepted.
Everywhere. Yeah. And I haven't seen that challenge yet. I haven't watched it. You know what? I'm going to track down someone that's a specialist on these 10th Amendment rights. I think it's 10th Amendment. 10th or 11th? 11th? Sorry. One of those 10th Amendment Center, I think. I'm going to get with them and see if I can get a guest on. Because we're booking guests again. Because we went a long spell without any guests.
Yeah, well, very long spell. Months and months and months. And then all of a sudden, boom, we've had interview after interview here recently.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to see, like, I might start putting out two episodes a week just because I love the standalone shows, but I also love the interview shows. So, yeah, we... I actually booked another interview for next week at 10.
Oh, who we got?
Troy Grice. He,
Oh, that guy.
He, right down there next to the 299 days between Bushcraft, that one. He wrote that book. And I've got another book by him, that I haven't got around to reading yet.
Indivisible with Justice for Some.
Yeah, he's very pro-anarchist, libertarian, anti-government. He wrote another book and sent it to me. Sorry, Troy. And I haven't got around to reading it yet. And I was like, fuck, dude, I was like, just let me get you on the show and we'll help you that way. Because I'm a slow reader. But anyway, let's move on to the next article before we just derail that son of a bitch.
All right. We're going to be, Donegan, debunking the lesser of two evils voting theory.
I wrote an article on this years ago. I've complained to people about it. Your buddy Todd he's tied in the, like, dyed-in-the-wool
Republican. Yeah, oh, he's a dyed-in-the-wool Republican.
Yeah. And before we jump in, because this is the episode we chase all the rabbits. One time he was complaining about Mike Huckabee, former governor or mayor Mike Huckabee.
You know what?
He has a radio show I listen to, too.
He dropped out of the race.
He did.
But based on his politics, I think he should be forced to carry the race to full term.
I saw that. he's very anti-abortion, and he should have been forced. You know, the Republicans, I think, had like 12 or 14 people running, and now they're all dropping out.
Except for Trump.
Except for Trump and Cruz. And Cruz apparently is Canadian, so...
Wait, Cruz is Canadian?
American parents, but born on Canadian soil.
Oh, that might disqualify him.
It might. It's a weird law... And, yeah.
Because isn't that one of the requirements that you must be born on American soil?
Yeah, which is, that's one of the reasons, like, with Obama, people actually were saying he was born in Kenya. The other people were, his people were saying he was born in Hawaii, which technically is American soil, not continental. But if they allow him to run, that opens a loophole, like... For God's sake, if Arnold Schwarzenegger ran for president, I would probably vote for him.
I think he's out of politics now.
He is. He's back in movies where he belongs.
Where he fucking belongs.
I mean, granted, he had a good run. Like, I actually liked the stuff he did as governor.
But he
was crippled by his liberal... You know, because he was a Republican. He was crippled by the liberals in California. Like,
I know.
He wanted to, like, give people a lot of, like, you know, good power and stuff by putting... Because California has one of the highest power rates in the country. Like... double and stuff. He wanted to put up solar panels in the middle of a desert And they're like, no, you endanger this species of lizard.
Oh, and plus, getting back to, I mean, touching again on gay marriage and shit, God only knows how a fucking survival show keeps doing that. But fucking, no, but that was the thing. While he was fucking running and everything, he was talking about he wanted to legalize gay marriage, wanted to legalize gay marriage. But he's the one that signed the ban on gay marriage in California. He played to his fucking Republican constituency.
Yeah.
And fucking signed the ban. I mean, because he was in support of fucking gay marriage because, like, he had fucking gay friends in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he was all for it for them. But fucking, like you just said, he was fucking crippled by his Republicans, his constituency. He had to fucking play to them or else fucking face consequences.
Which is ridiculous.
Just because you're the leader of the state, just because you're the leader of the fucking country, doesn't mean you don't have bosses, unfortunately.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Obama ran saying he was going to legalize gay marriage, but then after he got elected, he said that he wasn't going to do it, and there was quotes from him before he ran saying that he believed that, you know, marriage was a man and a woman. I mean, just, you're just flippy-floppy. You're all flippy-floppy. But anyway, let's get into this article.
But during his term, gay marriage did get legalized.
By a Republican-appointed Supreme Court.
That's just so fucked up. Yeah. That the Republicans did it.
Yeah. This comes from toothandmedia.com. Donegan debunking the lesser two evils voting strategy. Anyone who has ever supported a third-party presidential candidate, like me, Gary Johnson, in an election has likely had to defend their decision from partisans who endorse the lesser of two evils voter theory. By the logic offered by proponents of this theory, anyone who votes for an independent candidate, and your buddy Todd told me this, is at best wasting their vote, and at worst, handing the election over to the least favorite major party candidate. He literally told me that. Because Gary Johnson, Obama won, which wouldn't have been... So, we're getting off... I'm going to save my comments to the end. With as many as four potential Supreme Court replacements looming during the next presidency, partisans will doubtlessly wield the argument with ferocious intensity during the run-up to the 2016 presidential general election. However, the vast majority of Americans in the overwhelming majority of states, this cannot possibly be the case. In presidential elections where electoral college votes are allocated primarily in a winner-take-all fashion and in which there are very few competitive swing states. Most Americans' electoral votes in a particular election are already predetermined before anyone even heads to the polls.
Ain't that the goddamn truth?
Yeah.
Anecdotally speaking, as a libertarian-leaning Tennessean who identifies as...
Badass! We need to get this guy on the show.
Fuck yeah. I knew going into the voting booth in 2012 that all my electoral college votes were going to go to Mitt Romney. However, I was warned in advance that if I pulled the lever for a third-party candidate, it would swing the election to Barack Obama. Republican activists scolded me that I would then be responsible for Obama's radical Supreme Court nominees and all sorts of their other fearful outcomes that I needed to vote for Romney and to prevent. Ultimately, Romney did not end up choosing positions that would earn my vote, and I was forced to pull the lever for a third-party candidate. All 11 of the hard red Tennessee's winners take all electoral college votes went predictably to Romney. Though Obama did end up winning the election, my vote did not in any way assist him in achieving that victory. All of my state's votes went to Romney.
Yes.
Did I waste my vote? I could have traveled all the way to the voting booth just to give Mitt Romney an even larger victory in Tennessee by a single vote that would have had no impact on his chances against Obama. Voting third party, on the other hand, has many tangible effects. In some states, third parties gain legal status and ballot access when they obtain certain percentages in statewide races such as presidential elections, thus expanding competition amongst political parties. Also, major party candidates tend to look at any unusually high percentages earned by third-party candidates in elections as signals that it is time to take on some of the key issues that are gaining traction among independents in that party.
For partisans, voting third party can push a favorite major party closer to that person's views. Meanwhile, there is nothing stopping such a voter from continuing to support major party candidates in state and local races down the ballot and continuing to support the major party in general without being forced to vote for an unacceptable presidential candidate. According to Politico, In the current electoral college battlefield, 40 of 50 states have voted the same party's candidate in all four elections since 2000. And of the 10 exceptions, 3, North Carolina, New Mexico, and Indiana, were flunky.
Fluky.
Were fluky.
I try not to correct you, but that is a completely different meaning.
Were
of the word.
Fluky. That leaves just super. That leaves just 7 super swingy states: Colorado, Florida, Nevada, Ohio, and Virginia, all of which have backed Bush and Obama twice, and Iowa and New Hampshire, which have voted Democratic in 3 of the last 4 elections. For voters in those 7 to 10 states, a close race days out from the election might lend a bit of credence to the lesser two evils theory. Also, in Nebraska and Maine, the only two states that do not allocate electoral college votes in a winner-takes-all manner and instead do so proportionally, the argument gains a bit more traction. That said, Maine only has 4 electoral votes, and while it is possible that two candidates, they only have 2 vorpal swords. That's all you need. It might split electoral votes in those states. You're putting your links in weird, buddy. According to the Office of Federal Register, it has not actually happened. You can take over.
Yeah. Partisans will point to obscure potentialities, like the state radically politically shifting suddenly as a potential outcome justifying a lesser of two evils vote. But the odds of that happening solely on the basis of a third-party candidate surging are slim at best in any particular instance. Besides, if that was going to happen, voters would be aware of media-reported evidence of the political shift prior to Election Day and can make adjustments accordingly if they so desired. Too often it is said that a third-party candidate has spoiled an election when popular vote elections returns appear to show that the candidate getting a number of votes that, if given to a major party candidate, would have changed the outcome. This assumes wrongly that 100% of the candidate's voters who were available to the major party candidate in the first place. As it pertains to the U.S. presidential race, such an argument also oversimplifies the complexities of the Electoral College system. Ultimately, the lesser of two evils voter theory rests on a backwards principle, that voters should vote against their least favorite candidate rather than voting for their favorite candidate. It is not the voter's job to win the election for the political party or candidate. Candidates and political parties must earn the support of voters by choosing positions that will convince them to travel to a polling location and pull the lever in the voting booth. In July 2015, the Truth in Media Project released a consider this video highlighting the fact that the independent voters now outnumber Republicans and Democrats. Watch it in the below embedded video player.
And you can watch that. Barry Donegan. We're gonna get you on the show. We're going to try to get you on the show.
Yeah, we're going to reach out to him.
Political activist living in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, hell, he's local.
Yeah.
That is...
Is this a friend or a page? Add friend. I'm going to add you. I'm going to try to click add. I have friends that are friends with him.
Your real life, your real time Facebooking.
Yeah, real time. What was that? God damn it.
What did you do?
No, wrong thing. Oh. Oh, you say oh too much.
Isn't that a good thing?
No. Anyway. hi, Serenity, for live Facebook messaging while we record a podcast. Actually, you didn't. I got that late. God damn it. Get off the screen. But anyway, he wrote that very well. He made some really good points. And that was 2012. I went out and I voted for Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson, which is awesome because I got to meet and hang out with Gary Johnson for like an hour. Like, what presidential candidate actually was like, hey, I got to swing by the state, so if you guys get me on this ballot, I'll just hang out with you and talk to you for a while.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. You know, and dude, he was just a down-to-earth, like, legit guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to get Gary on the show. Oh, my God.
Here's a question. Did they ever let the third-party people into the fucking,
No. Well,
into the debates and shit?
I think Ross Perot may have been the last one to make it in the main debate.
God damn, that was during the Bush-Clinton election.
And that's because I think he was a billionaire and could actually buy his way on. Otherwise, it's the main parties, 2012, they had a there was an online only where you can watch the they held a third party candidates debate, which was the only debates I watched that year, because I got everything I need to know about Romney and Obama in a epic rap battle video.
Oh my God!
Romney versus Obama. That ended with President Lincoln flying in on a great bald eagle and bitch slapping both of them.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Yeah, one. I'll, you know what? I'm gonna remind myself to put a link in the show notes so you can watch it. Hilarious.
Okay, and I've got a question for our listener. Does anybody know who the last president was that was not one of the two, one of the top two parties? I mean, if there has ever been a third party president. When was the last time that happened? Keep in mind, the Whig Party turned into the Republicans. The Democratic Republicans turned into the Democrats, if you're looking it up. So, yeah.
It'll be... Well, I mean... Yeah, it'll be probably...
Yeah, it
will... Pre-1900.
It won't... Yeah, it'll be before the last... It'll be earlier than the 1900s. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. Interesting, yeah.
Before Ross Perot dropped out of the race and then came back in, though, he had a good line to fucking win the whole damn thing.
But
he dropped out and then came back in.
I'm quitting.
Yeah, and then people thought him too wishy-washy to elect.
Too flippy-floppy. He's a too flippy-floppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will probably not vote this year. If I do vote, it'll probably be for Gary Johnson again. If you made the case to me for voting in your local elections, I probably couldn't really, probably couldn't fault you on that. I'm not going to do it unless if the only time I plan to ever vote again, honestly, is if there's something on the ballot to vote for, not a person. So if, let's say on the ballot, it was like, Tennesseans, would you like to legalize marijuana? I would go vote on that. Tennesseans, would you like to require labeling for GMO products? I would probably vote for that. If it's something I'm passionate about, and I think in something like that, your vote can make a difference. But once again, you're not voting for lesser two evils. You're voting your conscience, which I always believe in. If you're voting for the Republican candidate and you honestly believe in your heart that he's the best person and not just simply not as bad as the Democrat candidate, by all means, go vote. If you're voting Republican, like you, Todd, because you will vote Republican because they're Republican, and it doesn't matter. That's kind of dumb. You know, like we were talking about Mike Huckabee earlier. Todd was like, this was on Facebook. You should probably have him listen to this episode so he can snap out. Ah, they're fools. They don't understand anything. If only I could explain to them. He was like, Mike Huckabee has no chance. He needs to get off his high horse in this thing and this thing. And then he would become a good candidate. He just needs to drop out because he's just not, you know, legit enough or whatever.
Who, Todd was saying this?
Todd was saying that, yeah. And I was like, but if he won the nomination, you would vote for him. He's like, well, yeah, I'd vote for him.
I love the look on your face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was Todd, he is one of my bros, but he is... That was a completely hypocritical statement right
there. Yeah. I mean, I went on a date with a school teacher girl, super liberal, probably should have stopped talking to her sooner. And she described herself as like a yellow dog Democrat. Everyone's yelling at their computer screens and iPods right now.
What the hell is a yellow dog Democrat?
It's basically what Todd is, except for being a Republican. She was like, if the Democrats ran for presidential nomination or, I guess, local, a yellow dog... She would vote for said yellow dog.
Oh, my God.
Because he's not a Republican.
So, basically, they could put up a werewolf and she'd vote for the werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God.
This year, Democrat Mr. Hanke and Republican Hitler. People are going to vote for him.
Yep.
Yeah. A Christmas turd versus a genocidal maniac. Well, but he's Republican. You got to vote for him.
It'll probably be the biggest voter turnout in history.
I don't know if you ever saw it. I actually used to have it on VHS tape. Like, I recorded it off of, like, an HBO free weekend when I was, like, I don't know, 16 or something.
Uh-huh.
Eddie Murphy, back when he made movies and was funny, He did a
you got a half dollar.
He did a political movie where he ran for Senate, I think, and he had the same name as a former person. So they're like, vote the name you know. And he didn't put up any posters, didn't show up. And people were like, well, I'll just vote for the name that I know and the party that I vote for.
Oh, my God.
And sure enough, he got in Congress, and then he actually did good things. But it sort of showed some of the dirtiness, but not all. And it was a good movie. Actually, have you not seen that, whatever it was?
No, I haven't seen that one.
We should find it and watch it. You like Eddie Murphy. So it was like, you know, like it was sort of late in his career before he started. It was probably before Doolittle, but I don't know.
Was it still during his huh phase?
I think just after that, maybe.
Kills a humanity.
Like maybe 90s, like mid to late 90s. We'll look it up.
Jordan, did you poop? I'm smelling poop.
He did. He pooped. He definitely pooped.
God.
Yeah.
Cat shit.
Yeah, delicious. So yeah, don't. Oh my God, that reminded me of something that happened in the last podcast.
Oh, that'd be a great news article to read. 13 things you didn't know about Gilligan's Island.
Oh, God. Who's that?
Thought it was John Pertwee for a minute.
I was like, is that Tom Baker?
God, we both thought that was a different doctor.
Yeah, yeah. So, vote your conscience, people. And for God's sake, if you get with me on Facebook or emails or comments and tell me how I need to vote Republican or vote the lesser of two evils, don't. Don't even waste your time.
Look, I'm going to vote the exact same way that I did in the last three elections.
You're not.
Yeah, I'm not.
And I support that, actually. I think the bigger message would be for people to not vote. And people will argue with me, but I think it shows a clear number that we don't give a shit about you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying out there. If you don't like either of the candidates, if they're both fucking devil's own assholes, don't vote the lesser of two evils. Just don't fucking vote.
Or if you honestly support someone that is a third party candidate, vote for them, because, like I said, they do get stuff. They may get like funding or get put on the ballot or get to show up in the debates. Like and this is people bitched at me last election about it that Gary Johnson got, I think, 1 million votes. Like if all 1 million people voted for Mitt Romney, I think he would have still lost. I mean, honestly, I think he would have still lost.
Oh God, yeah.
So it still doesn't matter. Your point's invalid. Go fuck yourself.
But I would love to just start a movement fucking of not voting. I mean, just fucking don't vote. Give us somebody worth fucking voting for and we'll vote. Until then, no vote.
Yeah, yeah.
They fucking do if nobody votes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to see happen. Like
if the candidates
vote for themselves and that's it.
Yeah, either that or every president would end up being Republican because Todd would still vote.
Yeah.
But speaking of Todd, I would just like to send this out in case he don't listen to our show.
He doesn't.
But no, if by some chance you do listen to this episode, I'm not picking on you, dude. And I wish you a very, very safe tour of duty, okay? Because past Thursday, he just got deployed over to South Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's safer than a lot of places, but still, I mean.
He could, yeah.
I mean, he couldn't tell me a lot of what he was doing over there because it's not just normal shit.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, fucking some classified shit, but whatever. So be safe, my friend. I hope you come back because it's your turn to drive to us for Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah. Do you want to do Nutrition Punk yet? Or you want to get the show topic?
Either way, I mean, we usually do the main topic and then Nutrition Punk.
Okay. And we'll try not to run super duper long. So this came from years ago when I first got into survival. There was a popular thread on the Zombie Squad forum, zombiehunters.org. /forum, and it was called Buggy at the Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club. No! And when you first get into prepping, we should have drew the draw the names out of the barrel thing. Draw the topics out of it. But anyway, I think from being a novice, you might have some input on this. When people first get into prepping and survivalism, when they realize they need to come up with a plan for the apocalypse, it usually entitles, well, during the apocalypse, I'm just going to drive down to Walmart. They got everything I need. No, you dumb cunt. Literally, if you have, like, you have that idea, so do about, I don't know, several thousand other people.
Yeah, possibly millions, depending on which part of the country you're in. If you're in the South, every redneck's going to fucking go to Walmart.
Yeah. You're not going to be the first one there.
I mean, hell.
Chances are there'll be people still working there when you show up. I mean.
And it's not like, okay, first off, I got a major problem with that whole thing. They think, well, Walmart's got everything. Yeah, for about 3 fucking days. It's not like Walmart, like, keeps, like, a gigantic. Like, everybody assumes that in the back rooms, there's, like, a whole nother store's worth of stuff, or another 2 stores worth of stuff. There's a reason stores get fucking trucks on a daily basis.
Yeah, the back rooms aren't as empty as they want them to be, but...
Yeah, they want them to be empty as big as they
used to be, yeah. They want it to be basically what's on the shelf with a couple extra in the back for most things.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't see it on... that. Yeah, honestly, if you don't see it on the shelf in a Walmart, there's... Just bank on the fact that there's nothing in the back room.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when it gets in, they put it on the shelf. If there's room for it on the shelf, they put it on the shelf.
Yeah, so there's that. Let's see. The apocalypse happens. Probably, if not already, it will. The power go out. You've got a massive fresh side of the store that's starting to rot. And it's going to release toxic chemicals that will kill you.
All the meat.
All the meat.
All the frozen foods.
All the dairy.
Deli.
Yeah. All that. Basically, you're going to have toxic stuff.
Not even to mention the produce.
Yeah, that's going to start rotting too. So, you'd have to... You have... God. Maybe hours. First of all... The majority of that stuff, you're not going to be able to eat, and it has to be evacuated from the store, or you're going to fucking kill yourself with, you know, bacteria and infection.
Now, the only thing, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to go over to the lawn and garden center, you're going to pull all the fucking grills over there, get all the fucking charcoal, and start cooking every single piece of fucking meat in the store.
Yeah. We're just going down this, like, theoretical of what you would have to do, because it's not going to work anyway. If somehow managed... Okay, so, let's say, biblical, bam, 90% of the population is gone. You're left on Earth, for whatever reason. Virus, something knocks out people.
With a few hundred million people.
With a few hundred million people. And let's say, you and, you know, your close friends or family or whatever. You and your immediate family, maybe a couple buddies. So... less than 12 people or so.
Everybody likes to think that the apocalypse is going to happen and they're going to be the ones that's first.
Exactly. Right. You know, which obviously they'd be the ones alive to apply that logic. So in that case, it would work. But...
I got to tell you. I mean, in a case where 90% of the people are dead, think about it. 9 out of every 10 people are dead now.
Yeah.
You're probably in that.
Yeah. Or your family. So let's just say magically, in this scenario, you, the listener right now, you and... The select group of less than 12 people or so that you want to survive with, your survival group, make it to the local Walmart. There's no one else. You secure it. It's yours. You've got to immediately start emptying out, I would say, 90% of the refrigeratable goods.
Mm-hmm.
You could, like Mike said, you can grab grills, fire them up, and then grill a bunch of stuff for you and your family that day, and
that'll
kind of last.
Yeah, I mean, if you say somehow you manage to fucking cook all the meat in the... And I'm not just talking about the steaks and the pork chops. I mean, you got all that fucking chicken. You've got turkeys. Hell, you've got fucking bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole fucking one wall is nothing but fucking meat.
Yeah.
You've got all those fucking hot dogs.
It's an impossible amount of food, so you'd have to get rid of most of it. You could, after you emptied out the coldest freezer in the store, which would be... The small ice cream freezer, which is stored below 0 degrees, you could load that up with a couple things, and you can get another couple of days out of it.
But keep in mind, once you open a fucking freezer, you're immediately letting a huge percentage of the coolness out.
Yeah.
That you're not going to be able to get back.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever... Okay, if you ever taken a very close look at the fucking freezer sections at Walmart, I mean, think about it. There's a bunch of doors... But that doesn't mean there's a bunch of walls separating them out.
There's not.
It's one big long fucking thing, and opening any one of those doors now breaks the coolness.
Yeah, so all that stuff, I mean, everything on the sales floor, you need to basically get rid of or eat immediately. The stuff in the back, you can go in there, load up, get it all out, and then put it in the few things you want to survive.
God, the fucking milk.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You're going to have a giant pile of shit like off the back hill or so to get rid of it. I mean, There are compost bins behind all Walmart. You can break the locks off and start adding stuff to that, but it's usually one dumpster, and then you can let that sit there and make compost for you for the next few months. But basically, or I mean, you're gonna have a giant pile of, you know, of rotting stuff that won't be compost. You usually don't want to compost meat; it doesn't work that well.
No.
You might need to get out there with your buddies and dig a pit to bury it in, so that, you know, maybe in like 10 years you've got good soil there.
Yeah. So basically, here's what you're gonna end up with: the only food after the first couple of days that's gonna be worth a shit is the stuff that's actually on the fucking shelves in the middle.
Right.
The stuff that's fucking a lot less perishable.
Yes.
So basically, you're going to be living on bottled water, and when that's gone, you have nothing but sodas and beer. Actually, and isn't part of the beer in, like, coolers? Well, even if that fucking goes cold, you can still drink beer.
I mean, it's still perishable, though. You still, I mean, not so much, but you're going to have a limited amount of time. Some stores actually have hard liquor, and that could be a resource, you know, through you know, making stuff like cough medicines, making, you know, disinfecting wounds and whatnot.
Yeah, depending on what state you're in.
Here
in Tennessee, I mean, no.
No, not even wine and stuff here. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you can have a party the first couple of days. After you do the daunting task of removing all of the perishable goods, and then, you know, relying on the, you know, for like a family, you know, say like we have, if our group is like 12 or less people, the perishable goods will last you a shit long time. The non-perishable, I mean,
yeah.
The stuff on the dry goods on the counter, you've got, God, probably. Okay. So in that case, it probably would last you a long time. And if it's the right season, you have seeds in the garden center. You know, you can start tilling up the land in the back, and you make them raised bed gardens and stuff, and you can plant stuff.
I don't know. I mean, a family of 12, that might last you 2 months worth of food in there. Maybe.
No.
Yeah. No. The shit on the shelf?
There is like several, like the bags of rice alone, the rice aisle will keep you for months. Now, months and months.
You're going to immediately have to eliminate shit that requires mixing with other shit. I mean,
not necessarily.
I mean, you can eat Hamburger Helper by itself, I guess.
Canned meat and stuff, too, though.
I mean, yeah, there's canned meat and stuff, but, I mean, honestly, there's not that much.
I think you're severely estimating the amount in a grocery store.
Yeah, but even shit on shelves has expiration dates.
Usually in the several-year range, and even after that, no.
I mean, and you can't even rely on all the stuff in the middle, because the bread, the snack cakes, all that shit's going to go bad really quick.
Right, we're only talking about non-perishable. So yeah,
like, canned the bread goods, and stuff, the stuff you've got, boxes.
Like, that stuff you've got between 2 and 6 years, easy, and the expiration date's kind of iffy on that. You know, with the breads and stuff, you're going to have to, you know, I don't think you should eat that, but in a survival situation, you know, the first 30 days, you have to dine on that.
I'd say the first couple of days, you're going to be fucking eating a hell of a lot of hamburgers.
Hamburgers, steak, and drinking beer. I mean, yeah. Really, it's going to be a party the first couple. After you know, you do all your prep work. Shit.
Get those Twinkies out of the way quick, too.
Yeah. And let me some Twinkies. And we've gone down the path of, like, if magically you and your select group of people are the last ones that exist on Earth. On Earth, which you're not. You're going to show up there, you dumb cunt, and it's going to be like swarming with pickup trucks with Confederate flags, and you're going to be told to go the fuck away.
Yeah, realistically, that store will be empty within a day or two.
Yeah, if management isn't told to secure the store by all means possible and shoot everyone that tries to take it, and, you know, obviously
they do have guns and ammo there.
A lot of the stores do have guns and ammo, and, you know, Walmart corporate is going to be like, you go come to work, right? It's the apocalypse. That ain't an excusable reason. You come to work, you're going to get a point. You still coming to work, right? Zombie apocalypse? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so the power's out. You're going to lose food. You're not going to be the first one. You're not. You're not going to even be. It's just a bad idea.
Well, you know what? Let's take a step sideways on that point right there, real quick.
Okay.
Say you are the first. Say you and your group are the first motherfuckers that get to that Walmart by some fucking miracle. You're going to want to keep everybody else out. You know how many entrances there are into a goddamn Walmart, and how many of those entrances are made of fucking glass?
Yeah, your front entrances are made of giant glass doors.
And I hope you know where the key is. Because unless you lock those, I mean, it's not that hard to get past those fucking doors. All you got to do is shove.
You can shove and it'll knock them off their rollers.
They're fucking, I mean, they're safety like that for a fucking reason.
Yeah. So, if you make it there first, magically, and I know some of you, probably none of you guys, but maybe some people in the future that find the show, find this, and you think this is your plan, you dumb poor bastards.
I mean, there's not a, I mean, so, okay, I mean, because think about it. Okay, on a normal, okay, I'm going to use the Walmart and Dixon as an example.
Right.
Okay, you got two sets of sliding doors on the grocery side, two sets of sliding doors on the fucking regular side. Then you got the doors for the lawn and garden center. Then you got the entrances back there for the fucking tire and lube express. Then you got only knows how many fucking other entrances for employees only that are on the back and the other side of the fucking building.
There's no other entrances for the employees. We have to, Walmart employees have to go through the
is there no other doors
there's
on the
emergency
back?
Exits, but they're heavy steel doors that only have a, they're only openable from the inside through a push lever. And then you've got the loading dock doors in the back.
The loading dock doors.
Which are made of, you know, thick metal and whatnot.
Those will be the easiest to secure because they're already relatively secured. They don't want anybody in or out that way.
Yeah, you're going to have to dismantle shelves and probably build, you know, wooden and gondola blocking things to the entrances.
Yeah.
And you have to do all while fighting off people that are trying to get in there and having part of your group empty out the meat and stuff.
Honestly, there's not that much stuff in a Walmart that makes for good barricading material.
I mean, you'd have to wipe out a counter and then use that counter, you know, the heavy metal and the wooden stuff to build walls.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then maybe like pile up buggies too.
And think about it. You've got to do this to at least three fucking different entrances, the three front entrances.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly, because if you're luckily the first ones there, you're beating the rest of the crowd by minutes at best.
Yeah.
Most likely by seconds. Most likely, I mean, unless your group lives in the apartments next to the Walmart, there's no way in hell you're going to beat anybody else there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got to secure your entrances while fighting off hundreds, if not thousands of people that are also trying to get in there, probably all of them, especially if you're in the South, who are armed to the fucking teeth. At the same time, like we said, you've got to deal with that meat problem and those other perishable goods, which is a huge task. Like you have no clue. So those are two things.
And this is just at a fucking Walmart. We're not even talking about Sam's Club or Costco yet, where the problem would be like even fucking worse.
Yeah, they're
stores where you buy in bulk. They have everything in bulk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just more stuff. And then all is a ticking time bomb. Like, you have to, obviously, you know, the fresh meat would have to go first. And I'm harping on this, but so in places where the power have gone out, you know, through, like, disasters, and they had to send in, like, hazmat teams to get rid of the meat afterwards because it will kill you.
Yeah. That shit turns toxic really fucking quick.
Yeah.
Conjunctivitis, if you just end up with conjunctivitis, you're lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, you're blind then, but then, I mean, but shit. No, that shit, yeah, turns into poisonous toxic gases.
Yeah.
We haven't actually, you've read a line from the article yet, have we?
Well, it's a post. I'm just sort of looking through to see, and that's, oh my God, it's just, so I don't like any plan for the apocalypse or any disaster scenario that involves factors you can't control. I store food. In the event of a disaster, I have food. I own that food. I'm not relying on maybe I can get to the Walmart, Costco, Santa.
No, you know you're first. Already set.
I'm already set.
Because you used proper prior planning.
Yes.
To prevent piss poor performance.
Yeah. And I really want to beat the people that... This is not a good plan. None of these stores, no taking over. Let me digress. Not even digressions. It's not even a digression. On this same forum one time, I read a post from a guy that said his plan, air quotes, people, his plan was during the zombie apocalypse, I, Joe Schmo, who have never served in any military arms before, no military at all, I'm going to go to our local Not Coast Guard, local Army, National Guard. National Guard. Or local National Guard Armory. I will infiltrate the base. It probably still has soldiers on it. I didn't name myself their leader and secure that base as my hideout, where we will have food and arms and be able to raid the local areas and get extra food that we need.
Okay, let me translate this to real world. I will go to my local National Guard base, where I will promptly be shot on sight for trying to break in and take over.
Yes, you will die. And I think he said stuff like he would, like, steal a tank and drive it around. I'm like,
yeah, we see how well that worked out. He got lambasted
so hard.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, first off, say you managed to steal a tank. We see how well that ended up for that motherfucker that was all over YouTube. Yeah. Ended up fucking stuck up against a damn bridge support where the cops shot him in the face.
Yeah. They eventually got in. A tank, if you managed to steal the tank and you could drive it,
Yeah, but this guy's had no military training ever, so he wouldn't even know how the fuck to operate a tank.
Yeah, I've seen the inside of tanks before.
They're not. It's not like a steering wheel and a gas pedal and a brake pedal. No, it's all fucking levers and shit.
Yeah, you're not gonna. Yeah, that's dumb. If you write me, James Sicklin, James at survivalpunk.com, Sicklin.com, he used to own that domain, but they want $6,000 for it now.
I ought to start a fucking Kickstarter
to buy it back. Yeah, I wish, dude. Maybe I'll implement forums. I used to love the forums on sickone.com on Survival Punk. I've not got around to it because there's too many good forums out there like Zombie Squad that we're reading from. But yeah, if that's your plan, email me, James, survivalpunk.com, so I can call you to your face a dumb cunt. You are a fool. You will not take over an army base with no training. People will not magically bow to you and be like, we're trained soldiers, and this civilian that has no idea what he's doing will become our leader. We accept your rule, buddy. No, they're going to shoot you. You're dead. Game over. You're just dumb. You're just, oh, God, I want to kill you. You know, or the people that their plan is, so we're going off on, like, what is bad plan. So we've established that Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club, any box store, bad idea. Maybe. No, bad idea. I was going to say, maybe after a while, you could probably try raiding them, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, like, after a long time in the apocalypse, but then we're talking about the whole, you know, it's now become toxic, and you'd have to have a hazmat suit to enter it. And by that point, you still would not be the first person. People probably already wiped it out anyway.
You know, and I just thought of something else. There's no way in hell you're ever going to be the first person in a Walmart.
They're not going to close.
Yeah,
they won't close for the apocalypse. It's not Christmas Day.
Yeah. I mean, unless the apocalypse happens on fucking Christmas, the only fucking day that Walmart's actually closed, it's going to be fully staffed with customers in it when the apocalypse happens.
We neglected one fact here.
Oh, we did?
We did. We live in the South, Mike. Do we not?
Yes, we do.
What happens about 1 hour after the news calls for any sort of disaster, i.e. snowing?
Oh, God, everybody raids the fucking every store fucking buying fucking milk and bread.
Bread, milk, and eggs.
Bread, milk, and eggs. Because all of a sudden, oh, God, there's going to be an inch of snow. We have to make French toast. Yeah. I can never understand that.
I don't know. Yeah, Jeff Radke, he was, like, taking pictures. He's like, their bread aisle in Wisconsin after, like, a blizzard is, you know, normal. Everyone has their shit anyway, but,
Now, down here, everybody immediately runs to the grocery store because they think that we're going to be fucking stuck in our houses for weeks.
Yeah, if a hurricane comes, same thing. If tornadoes are coming, generally same thing. Any tornadoes, disaster...
Honestly, tornadoes not so much. Tornadoes happen a lot down here.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, and if your house gets taken out, your food's gone too.
And plus tornadoes, I mean, you don't find about them until it's way too fucking
late. Hey, tornado. Anyway, for most disasters, and especially something like...
Any disaster we get pre-warned about...
Your shores are going to be wiped out. And I can only imagine during a real disaster, like we're talking about like a full-on like apocalypse, you know, by the time you make it to Walmart, when your idea is to take them over...
It'll be empty. The only thing that won't be empty is the cash registers.
Yeah, which will probably be locked up in the safe. And those safes are tough as shit, so
good luck. And think about it, during an apocalypse...
You don't need cash.
Money's kind of useless.
Although they might have some silver coins. I used to get silver coins that way.
Yeah, but still, I mean...
Not robbing them, if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, but still, silver's still not that much of a use. I mean, for trading, but still.
Not initially. It will be in the recovery period, but initially in the downfall, not so much.
Well, especially if you need bullets when the werewolves finally show up. Yeah,
but if you have werewolf cop, you're fine.
Wolf cop! The best movie that we've seen in forever. Everybody go on Netflix and find Wolf Cop. You will thank us.
Yes. It's the first movie I ever saw that had the werewolf transformation start with the peen, with like, the guy's with the dick while he's peeing at the urinal.
Yeah, he's peeing. Then all of a sudden he's peeing a stream of blood and he looks down and his dick is starting to swell. But then a wolf cock just bursts through. Yeah.
Hilarious. You go watch it now. Stop listening to this and go watch it and then come back and re-listen.
Best fucking werewolf movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That movie was epic. So there's a wolf sex scene in it.
There's a wolf sex scene.
But no more spoilers. You go watch Wolf Cop.
Yeah.
Go watch Wolf Cop.
Yeah. So the stores will be empty. Well, we've in concrete laid down. Your idea to bug out to Walmart or any box store is just dumb. It's not going to happen. You're better off if you're informed, like we tell you to be and like we are. You will know that that bad times are coming, and you will intelligently increase your stockpiles so that you can get the stuff out of the store to your home or bug out location safely ahead of time. So
that way when the shit hits the fan,
you're not out there in it.
You don't even have to fucking leave your home. You just fucking kick back, fucking power up one of your emergency generators, watch the latest fucking box set of your favorite fucking television show. Doctor Who, thank you.
Yeah.
And fucking sit there and eat the food that you have very wisely already stocked up on.
Yeah. Where are we at in time? We chased every rabbit there is to chase.
Let me see.
Oh, God!
Oh, shit.
So with that, I think we've established it. You need to come up with a plan for survival that does not include things that you either are illegal or you don't have access to. Make your plans things that you own and can get access to.
There's a reason it's called prepping.
Yes. So let's move on to our nutrition punk article.
Low-carb ketogenics and paleo diets are better than drugs for diabetes, say the experts.
Yes, this comes from examiner.com, which I think is a UK website. Yeah. A panel of 24 respective medical experts say a low-carb diet should be the first line of defense for treating diabetes, according to a report published in the medical journal Nutrition. Scientists said low-carb diets such as paleo, ketogenic, and Atkins plans can eliminate the need for diabetes drugs because they work immediately to reduce high blood sugar. The study co-authors included Dr. Eric Westman, I know that guy, not president, director of the Duke University Obesity Clinic, Dr. Jeff Volek, a professor at Ohio State University, cancer researcher Dr. Eugene Fine, and Dr. Ann Childers, a specialist in pediatric psychiatry and nutrition.
Psychiatry, dude.
Whatever. Oh my God.
Psychiatry.
Yeah, whatever.
That's the word of the day, psychiatry.
Low-carb diet stem blood sugar spikes without the side effects. Take over.
After analyzing data from a cross-section of studies, these experts concluded
low-carb diet?
That give you mahogany?
Oh.
Teak? It concluded a low-carb diet is the best treatment for diabetes because it has proven effective in reducing pro-inflammatory blood sugar spikes without the unpleasant side effects most drugs have. Surprisingly, the researchers said a low-carb diet was beneficial for diabetes. For
diabetics? Diabetics is the word you're looking for?
Are you having fun there?
Yeah.
Little dick karma.
Bag.
For diabetics, even if they don't lose weight. The benefits of carbohydrate restriction in diabetes are immediate and well-documented, wrote Dr. Westman, co-author of Keto Clarity.
That's why I recognize the name.
Dietary carbohydrate restriction reliably reduces high blood glucose, does not require weight loss, although it is still best for weight loss, and leads to the reduction or elimination of medication and has never shown side effects comparable to those seen in many drugs.
Dr. Jeff Volek is registered dietitian and co-author of the study, agrees by drastically reducing carbs and replacing them with unprocessed fats, you can experience stable blood sugar and prevent degenerative illnesses like heart disease and diabetes, Volek told me. Carbohydrate restriction is the proverbial silver bullet for managing insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, and type 2 diabetes, said Volek, author of The Art and Science of Low-Carbohydrate Living.
Yeah. Because dietary fat has a negligible impact on insulin, eating it doesn't produce sugars, surges in our blood, glucose, and blood insulin the way that ingesting carbs does, he said. Reducing blood sugar spikes is critical for diabetics. The font is getting weird. Low-carb diets aid weight loss, epilepsy, and cancer. The health benefits of low-carb, high-fat diets, such as the paleo. See, that's not... Paleo doesn't...
As the paleo?
As the
that's
paleo.
That's like when your mother accuses you of smoking
the marijuana, yeah. paleo isn't macronutrient agnostic. Like, it is not definitely a high-fat diet. It isn't definitely a low-carb fat. It's a quality and not a kind of food. So ketogenic and Atkins diets extend beyond diabetes management. In addition to promoting weight loss, low-carb, high-fat diets like the ketogenic plan have been shown to manage advanced metastatic cancer. Oh, God, yes, they have, because cancer cells... primary food and pretty much only food they eat is glucose. If you don't have glucose for them to eat, what do they eat? They die!
Excellent.
The ketogenic diet shows promise as a way to manage some cancers. Study co-author Dr. Fan. Her parents should have named her So. Dr. So Fan!
Oh my God.
Yeah, told me. I wonder if there's a Dr. Foxy anywhere, like, or a Dr. Sexy, like... Dr. Sexy, paging Dr. Sexy.
Have you ever met anybody with the last name Sexy?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure it's like an Asian name, like Sexy. Fine, a professor at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York echoed the sentiments of renowned cancer scientist Dr. Thomas Seyfried. Seyfried?
Where the hell are you looking?
Dr. Thomas Seyfried.
Seyfried. I'm guessing.
Whose decades of research suggests a ketogenic diet beats chemotherapy for almost all cancers. Dr. Fried Chicken detailed in his scientific findings in his book, Cancer as a Metabolic Disease.
The new study published in Epilepsy Today confirmed the
efficacy,
thank you, of the ketogenic diet for preventing and reducing epilepsy-induced seizures among children. Similarly, Time magazine, which has long embraced calorie counting as the holy grail of weight loss.
And bran muffins, I'm sure.
Yeah, conceded that the low-carb, high-fat diets like paleo, ketogenic, and Atkins diets are better for weight loss than counting calories. Dr. David Ludwig von Beethoven, a nutrition professor at the Harvard School of Pubic Health, said low-fat diets that emphasize calorie quantity over calorie quality have proven a dismal failure for long-term weight loss.
Wow. Who would have guessed?
I know. Low-carb diets outperform a low-fat diet every time, and that wouldn't be true if calories were the only measure that mattered, said Amadeus, author of The Always Hungry, Conquer Cravings, Restrain Your Fat Cells, and Lose Weight Permanently.
Conquer Cravings, Retrain Your Fat Cells, and Lose Weight Permanently. Yes.
I like the way I said it better.
Refrain. Oh, that's the creepiest picture ever. I love that.
What the hell? 20 most unusual family photos on Earth.
Good God, dude!
I'm grabbing your titty. Anyway, it's, I mean... There's a lot of interesting research, and the cancer stuff is very intriguing. There's a lot of stuff with that. If you are on diabetic medication... Oh, you're clicking porn, dude. You're going to break my computer.
I am not clicking porn.
If you're on medicine, taking a ketogenic approach or low carb, it's one of those things where, like, you get the bang for your buck. Like, there's nothing bad that can happen from giving low carb a try and testing your blood work, you know, and your stuff. And it's only benefits. Like, if you try it and see, look, there's titties. You're fucking up my computer.
There is no titties on this.
That's Mia Khalifa, my favorite porn star.
Mia Khalifa?
Oh, yeah. There was, though. Scroll to the top. I'll show you. What is that? That's titties. That's all titties.
That's that's 15 best breastfeeding stories of 2015, yeah. You perv.
Yeah. Comment on the news story. Quit looking at titties.
I'm not looking at titties.
God, Mike's a pornaholic.
You're just hoping that my wife is sitting outside here so you can get me castrated.
No. With that knife you're playing with in your hand? So, yeah, I mean, I don't see anything bad. You give it 30 days, you know, check it. If you are feeling better, good. If not, if you're one of the weirdos that somehow break all of these scientific studies and you get worse, well, by all means, quit. But it's one of those things where it's like, the benefit to risk is insane. There are no risks and benefits. You know, it's like that's the way I compare everything. Like, Mike, today should I take cocaine? What are the risks? Could become addicted, drug addict, and sell everything I own and become a bad person.
Or possibly overdose.
Or possibly overdose and die. Benefits. Might get really hyped up and be productive today. Are there better choices? Yes, I could take modafinil. I could fucking listen to brain.fm and be concentrated that way. So you gotta compare that. Like, should I go on the low carb ketogenic paleo diet to control my blood sugar and my diabetes? Benefits, fucking works for everybody. Bad side, I need crickets chirping. Yeah, I mean, I don't. You're gonna probably spend more money on food, maybe. Eating out could cost a lot too. So, give it a fucking try. We're running long.
That's what she said.
Oh, yeah. After looking at porn all day, I bet she did say that.
And on that bomb show.
Yeah. So this is James from StylePunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike. Tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah, where we go boldly into the future of this podcast. By then, we might have new microphones. Pray for us, y'all.
Happy anniversary, bro.
Happy anniversary.
Use guys.
DIY to not look at porn, use guys.